We take a delve inside the gray area.
Welcome, welcome. Good morning, Joel.
Doing? We had our big radio station bash over the weekend. A little bowling, a little fun, a little good times.
I taught Joel how to bowl a little bit. It was a great time.
Yes, a little bit.
He whooped me. Joel's a really good bowler.
It was fun to get together. I like doing it after the holidays. It's a little more relaxing than trying to jam it in before the holidays.
So much bustle. If it's in the month of December, it's busy. I don't care what it is, it's busy.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, today we delve inside the gray area, and I promised you earlier last week we did a top five birds that I don't trust. And I think I inadvertently left off the list parrots, because I don't trust parrots, because I think that big beak is just going to take an eyeball and just swallow it, although I think they're really cool and how they can talk and all that stuff. And you pointed one out to me, too, another one that we mentioned, I think, last week. But another reason why it's
ravens?
Yeah.
The murder of ravens. Oh, yeah, a group of ravens is called a murder.
Yeah.
I mean, and we talked about owls, too, but like a group of owls, they're called a parliament. So that's just like, you know, you can picture a group of owls running England. Like there's sort of some sting pulled out of it. If you do that, Rachel's nodding sagely from the front desk like, yeah, that tracks. I can picture owls running England.
I might cross owls off the list and put parrot or ravens on there. I might have to adjust that list. So
see, I believe in ravens. I want them to be friendly to me, but I just know that they're like the goth kids. They're not being mean to you, they're just not gonna smile at you, you know. It's one of those things. It's like, okay, I get it, I'll make room for you, and you come to me if you want to and bring me a bottle cap and I'll feed you, I guess.
So today we have the top five foods that I don't trust.
Okay,
hard hitting after a big AFC NFC weekend. Everybody's talking Super Bowl. We're talking about the top five foods that I do not trust. And there can be OLIs. You're certainly welcome to add in. But I have number five. This will be one that will be puzzling to a lot of people. And you gave me a weird expression when I told you this last week. Number five of my list of foods that I don't trust is string licorice.
That's right.
Just don't trust string licorice.
I mean, so when you say licorice, are you talking black licorice? Are you discriminating against the Twizzler?
I'm talking the red shoelace, really skinny licorice.
Oh, like the really thin, yep. Like just a single string. Okay, yes. Gotcha.
Just that really small string licorice. Because when I was a kid, for some reason, I had some shoestring licorice, and I ate it on a bus going home after school, and then that night I got sick and I got a really bad earache.
Yep.
So to this day, I connect string licorice with anytime I see a bag of string licorice at Walmart or in a store, instantly I think to myself, I'm going to get an earache.
Yeah. No, that's so I have not the same. I don't have a taste aversion because I got sick, but I have only ever once experienced true shoestring licorice. I don't think it's super popular anymore with Twizzlers and Red Vines and similar options.
Right.
I think the closest thing you can really get is those peel apart Twizzlers now that are a lot softer. But that was the issue. The one time I had shoestring licorice, I think it had been sitting in that peg hook bag for like 3 or 4 years. And it's like, it's pure sugar. It's not going to expire, but it will harden. That's for sure. It was a good red concrete that I was chewing on.
Oh,
crunchy,
yeah.
crunchy licorice. So
yeah.
Not a big fan for that reason.
All right. Number four on food, top five food list that your morning guy does not trust. Number four is chili.
Is this a fear of beans?
This is a getting old bean. Yes, it is a getting old bean thing, because if there's certain types of beans or a large amount of beans in the chilies, don't get me wrong, I love chili.
Oh,
it's
delicious.
Wonderful. I have to hold myself back from the second large bowl of chili. But as I get older, it is definitely on my top five list of most dangerous foods and ones that I don't trust. There's no doubt about it.
Okay. I've got one simple question on this one. Where do you stand on chili mac? Yay or nay on the noodles?
I love pasta, so you can throw noodles in anything. I don't
Same.
Really care.
Same.
I don't
Just
really
don't
care.
Add corn, and I'm on your side.
I didn't grow up with pasta in my chili, but if you want to throw a few noodles in there, I'm all right with that.
Same. 100%. Right. Just had to check.
Yep. All right. Number three on my list of top five foods that I don't trust is peppers. I don't trust peppers. I do not trust peppers at all.
These all are giving me questions, Joel. Is it like, so is it like bell peppers? Is it the various kinds? Is it, there's too much variety and some of them will kill you while the others you won't even notice? Like,
that last line probably sums it up. I'm not a big, I'm not huge into spicy food. So if I see peppers on a tray at a family get together or somewhere, I look at it and I just like, I'm not familiar enough with peppers to know what that's going to do to me or how powerful it is. So I'm just going to not take it.
I'm pretty sure like the modern hottest peppers available will basically give you superpowers. I think we've reached that point where it's you could be dipped in a vat of acid, you can be bitten by a spider, or you instead could bite this pepper and you'll become the Human Torch or something like that. I think it's one of those comic book levels of power, right, in one pepper.
Right, right, because there's always flame. Whenever they advertise it, there are always flames coming out of the side of it. And it seems dangerous.
Yeah, no. There's like, it's the package is designed to scare you, and for me it works. I let it scare me and I don't touch that stuff.
Yeah. All right, number two on Joel's list of top five foods that I don't trust, and this might shock you real intensely, is fudge.
I made you fudge like last week.
Now let me say this: the fudge you made was a little bit different than the traditional real chocolatey, real hearty fudge. Yours had a little bit of a different twist to it, and I did eat some of it. But the dark fudge, my body has a history of eating that, and then heartburn follows very soon after. I'm not sure why that is. So I don't generally, when I'm at functions and I think to my, I look at the fudge, I'm just like, that would probably be good, but I don't trust it. I'm not going to do it. I don't trust the fudge.
If you ever see Joel looking nervous at the function, examine the area for fudge. Just remove it. He'll be fine.
And everybody right now listening has something that when you go to your family reunion or you go to a get-together and there's a buffet of food, you go through and you look at it and you're like, do I trust that? Do I trust it? Everybody has that. Has a few foods. I've got five of them. My number one food, and this maybe technically isn't a food, but it is a consuming product that I don't trust, is Pop Rocks.
Is it that urban legend about the kid from the commercial who blew his stomach up?
Exactly.
I knew it. Commercial was he from? Was it the Wheaties commercial? It was some kid actor from the 70s who's supposedly not around anymore.
Swallowed a box of Pop Rocks and apparently his stomach exploded. That's the myth, urban myth anyway.
I remember a Mythbusters episode with a pig's stomach suspended amongst a plastic skeleton where they, I mean, I don't know. I can't say that they proved it wrong, but they did some really gross stuff that made it seem unlikely. I know that.
Yeah, and I ate a lot of Pop Rocks as a kid. It was I'm probably old enough to remember when Pop Rocks first came out, and it was like, whoa, this is really cool. You put it in your mouth, it starts crackling and snapping. So I did consume a lot of Pop Rocks, but it's exactly what you said. It's just like, I have it now, and I'm just like, well, what if, you know, as you get older, sometimes you just forget and you just swallow, and then that happens, and I'm not going to do it. So I don't trust Pop Rocks.
Yeah, Pop Rocks, one of those things that I think will filter back through time every once in a while, because there's nothing inherently wrong, scary, or kind of foolish. And I say foolish because pet rocks, you know, there's nothing wrong with a pet rock, but I don't think we're ever going to see a pet rock again. Yeah. Pop Rocks are a candidate for recycling through novelty.
Yeah,
pet exactly. Rocks, they're always just gonna be rocks.
Yeah. So this list is different from foods that I don't like versus foods that maybe I like but I just don't trust them. So there is a different list in there too. Is there anything that comes to mind when I say to you, you're at a buffet line and you're just something that just like, ooh, that could give me a bad reaction or something?
At a buffet line? Oh, man. Anything that is primarily white, gray, or a similar color. Like, if it's got a lot of mayo in it as an ingredient. I took food safety. I'm a Safe Serve certified guy, so I know that mayo at room temp is safe. But because of that, people like to treat it that all the things you throw into mayo are safe at room temp.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, folks, tuna. And vegetables, and like, there's not much else is safe at room temp all day. So it's like, okay, is there, how much ice is there in the bottom of that buffet table? That's how I'm deciding what I'm eating at that buffet.
I'll admit, I'll go to sometimes we go to a Chinese buffet or something like that, or even my wife and I have gone to Benihana's in the big cities, and anytime that there's a food or a seafood or a fish and I don't recognize the name of it, my first inclination is, I'll try that because I like fish. But then in the back of my mind, I'm just like, I'm not sure I trust this food. I don't know. What is it going to do to me?
Seafood buffet. That's a shorter way of saying turn around and go the other direction. To me, anyway. That said, there are some good seafood buffets out there. I just had one bad experience when I was living in the city. So don't knock any seafood buffets around here.
I love a seafood buffet.
I'm terrified of them. And it's not their fault. It is the fault of this one place, maybe, or it might be mine, at least to a shared degree. More to the point, Joel, I guess you mentioned to me earlier, and I heard you mentioning it as I was driving in, that it was foods you didn't trust. So I got marinating on it, and I landed on one that just immediately, there's kind of this insidious food, and that dovetailed into a second one.
All right, here it is.
It's a food that in its own way has commitment issues. It's spaghetti squash. Which is it? Are you spaghetti? Are you squash? And okay, you know what? I get it. Because that's its natural state. You take a squash, you just cook it, and you get spaghetti kind of stuff. But then I found out that there's a thing that you can buy to make noodles out of zucchini. And it's like, no. The spaghetti squash was a sign from above to tap the brakes. Yeah. It's like, stop. I'm hiding spaghetti inside the vegetables, so you guys see that you're going too far.
And there's a lot of different squashes. That might be an OLI for me, outside looking in, because from working and volunteering at the food pantry, a lot of people will bring in produce in the fall, and there's squashes. And, of course, the ladies, they know, well, that's a butternut squash, and that's a spaghetti. They're just pointing it out. They know what everything is, and I'm just like, I thought there was just squash. What am I eating? What kind of squash am I eating here?
I don't hold myself up as an interpreter of signs, but when the farmers start growing noodles, I think we've got to reevaluate a few things, and I think we failed to do that. And now we've got that thing that you can put a zucchini in and turn it almost like a pencil in a sharpener, and it just cranks out zucchini noodle. No, no, folks, this was a sign to stop. Do not create that thing. Why? You don't need a reason. Just don't. You don't need zucchini noodles in the world. And here I sit in a world with zucchini noodles, and I know what my goal is for my lifetime. Rid the world of those commitment issue vegetables. Be zucchini, be a squash, don't be spaghetti.
Don't be spaghetti. I think they're just trying to overachieve, yeah.
There's a reason. There's a vendetta behind. Like, what would motivate a squash to be spaghetti? I don't know, but I'm not sure it's a good thing. Like, what?
What the hell's going on out here?
Precisely. Precisely.
Exactly. All right, there you have it, folks. Anything else? You guys, is that good? Are you good? You got it off your chest?
I'll let you know.
Hey, we're only going to visit this once. We can't go back and do it again.
Well, I mean, we may leave this space, but I will be here for the rest of the day. I'm just going to be very despondent today. Why is Gray not talkative? He's thinking about vegetables he doesn't trust.
Listen to Gray from 2 to 6:30 today if he has anything that pops into his head or any more bad things to say about spaghetti squash. I don't know why you talk bad about them. He will be in from 2 to 6:30
I'll tell
today.
You why. 2 to 6:30.
All right. Greg Gunderson. Thank you, Gray.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hunting season is...